as close as we can. I promise not to spew on anybody. Okay, so seven takeaways from 2 years of COVID. Five of these came out of an article that I read in the Epoch Times, just to let you know. Two of these are my own additions. But then I thought these points were so good because you could build out on them, and certainly they're spiritual principles that we could look at. So tonight, there, I want you to think about there truly is joy in the journey. Very important point. We'll be hitting upon some of this as we get into our message on Sunday also. But to start off with tonight, I just want you to think about a review portion here. As this clicks to review. Last week we talked about less is truly more, and then having fewer choices is less overwhelming. Now, you've probably been at the store where you have 1,000 different choices for a certain thing that you're looking for, and because there's so many choices, you get paralyzed, you can't make the choice. So, Don dug up this little skit thing here for me. I thought this might be
a full of milk, thanks.
Low fat, no fat, full cream, high calcium, high protein, soy, light skim, omega 3. High calcium with vitamin D and folate or extra
dominant. I just want milk that tastes like real milk.
This tastes like full cream milk. And only 2% fat.
Paul's smart of white milk. Smart choice.
Okay. The point of that is that when you're confronted with so many choices, it is somewhat paralyzing. Now, remember last week we talked about this incredible threat that was out there, and that was the Assyrian army that had surrounded Jerusalem, and Hezekiah was under siege, and he immediately started thinking of all the options that he had and was paralyzed by, because of this huge threat out there. He chose to go to Egypt, and he didn't trust in the Lord. And as a result of that, literally, God there in Isaiah chapter 30 told him that because he had done that, he chose to go down to Egypt, that he added sin unto sin by not trusting God. And you'll remember in that text that God said, look, if you'll just, I'm just waiting in verse 18 to be gracious to you. If you just simply will rest and trust me, I'm just waiting to be gracious to you. So we talked about the fact in the second part of that, that saying no to many things is leaves room to say yes to a few better things. One thing that we've learned through COVID, in all honesty, is that a lot of the things that we were doing just simply aren't as important as we thought they were. That really we don't need to have all the amenities to have a tremendous amount of fellowship with God. That our relationship to Christ is very simplistic in many ways. We don't have to have all of the band together in order for us to truly worship. We could have songs on the screen and still be worshiping God. We can have just a guitar and still be worshiping God. It's amazing how God has kind of refined some of these things. So I think coming out of COVID, I'm hoping that we won't look to complicate ministry, but just simply really refine the things that we know that God has shown us that he's really in. The third one last week was that comparison is the thief of joy. And we said that dissatisfaction is, dissatisfaction is the inability to recognize the Lord in the current situation. Hezekiah's problem was is that he couldn't find God in the situation that he was in. He was so overwhelmed. And we've been, as we went into COVID, I remember when it started, I remember the first meeting we had in the elders, as the elders met in the room there. And we were all so overwhelmed because it was such a terrible thing that was happening. And the sense was that everyone that got this thing was going to either be gravely ill or die. And that if you didn't die, you would kill somebody else by getting it. And so there was this incredible, overwhelming fear. And I'll never forget, as we did the facts first, how in that series, God just showed me that, hey, let's be honest with truth here. That high probability, a high percentage of people that get COVID are going to get better. 98.5% in this state alone survived it and had no major issues. And it really wasn't something that we had to be so afraid of. It wasn't supposed to be as paralyzing as it was. And I think sometimes when we were looking at the situation that we were in, we would compare it to perhaps what other people were doing, what someone else was saying, all the other things that were going on, perhaps in different parts of the United States, maybe even the world. And it robbed us of joy. It robbed us of the ability to find Christ where we were. If there's anything that we've come out of these last 2 years, I realize that our relationship to Christ has to be a very personal, simplistic, and focused relationship. Not necessarily affected by the external elements that are going on around us, not by what other people say or do. Can you remember when there were the various things that were going on in terms of protests and riots and things such as, can you remember how upset people were getting? Because some people were allowed to do this and other people weren't allowed to do that. All of those things stole our joy. But Christ was never any less of a Savior or a Redeemer or any less of our God in the midst of any of that. We just allowed all of those things to rob us of our joy. How another person was acting, or the freedoms that they had, or things they were getting away with and they shouldn't have gotten away with. We were so compelled by those things, and they stole our joy. If there's one thing that we've learned in this whole process, from my viewpoint, is that the world doesn't dictate what makes us happy. It's going to be Christ. That's a very important thing. So as we go through this tonight, I want to look at a fourth one here, and we're going to slow down this process. We covered too much last week. But this week, you have your verses there in Hebrews, and we're talking about Abram in Genesis chapter, and on Sundays, we'll be in Genesis chapter 12, but I just want you to think about joy in the journey, and I do have another skit, one that you'll probably be familiar with. This is one that everybody knows. This is Shrek.
Yourself for 5 minutes.
So tonight, focusing on the journey, not the destination, brings more contentment. It was one of the points that was raised, and I thought this was quite interesting. I'm going to read these verses in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out, and notice this part of the sentence, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And therefore, also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died according to faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles or pilgrims, aliens on this earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a fatherland or the land of the Father. And indeed, they would have had an opportunity if they were remembering that country from which they came out from which they went out. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So, Father, bless our time here tonight. In Christ's name, amen. So I was thinking about, let me see where we're at here. Okay. There's this initial call. Christianity is like being called into a mystery, much like what happened with Abraham. If you think about it, and we'll talk about it on Sunday, when Abraham was called out in Genesis 12, his father still had 60 years to live. He didn't die and then he went out. He was actually still alive for 60 years after his departure. And Abraham went out, left his father, left his home, left everything to a place, and it's very clear here, and it is there in Genesis, that he didn't know where he was going. He was just told to go. In many ways, when we receive Christ, it's very similar to that. A person gets saved, and we realize that God has expressed his love to us, and we receive that love in Romans 8:28, where we're those that love God. And then there's this call, and we know that God has a purpose for us, and that everything is working towards that purpose, but we don't actually know exactly how that's going to play out in our lives. We're kind of talking about this at the dinner wrap. We don't know how that's going to work out. Abraham didn't know exactly all the places he was going to end up, or how he was going to get there, or all the circumstances that were going to evolve as he went through it. And you can track from chapter 12 to 22 all these various things that happened in his life. And for all of us, it's very similar. You get saved, and all of a sudden, where you were, your home, your family, all the things of your life are not as, secure as they once were. It's just not as fulfilling as it once might have been. It's almost like it's a different vocabulary, a different language, you don't even hear it the same way. Nothing is as it was. And you're on this trek to go somewhere. I kind of hearken back to back in 1981 when we decided to come out here. We did not know hardly anything about where we were going, how we'd, where we were going to land. Had it not been for Mitch and my dad leasing a house out here for us, we didn't know anything about it. We didn't know how many jobs we'd be, if there were jobs to get. We didn't know anything. And all 15 of us decided that we were going to, trust God. We didn't know whether we had the resources to get all the way out here financially. We just didn't have any of those things. But we just knew that we were supposed to do it. Oftentimes when a person gets saved, it's very much like that. There's this sense of anticipation. It's the mystery. It's the venture or the adventure that God sets you off into. And that's a very important thing for all of us. But what precedes, or what we have to understand, is that after the initial call of God to adventure, the necessary ingredient for success is patience. It's a very important aspect of life. And it's one that God wants to teach all of us. And there's many verses in the Bible that relate to this. When Jesus, for example, in Luke 21:19, was talking about the end times, he told his disciples, "In your patience, you possess your soul." Patience is something that God's trying to teach all of us. The word in the Greek means to simply to remain under, or abide under, or stay there. It's translated endurance many times, because that's really what you're doing. You're just sticking it out. You're just enduring. And one of the things in our culture that we've had a really hard time doing, because there's just so many opportunities, is we've had a really hard time just sticking it out, just abiding, just being where God placed us and remaining there. It's a lesson that we all need to learn. So when the Word of God says, if we're thinking about being successful, in James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4, I was looking at this today. It says, "Make a decision and consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various," all kinds of different, by the way, the word various means innumerable trials, innumerable tests, things that come up in your life that God designs that makes life interesting. Now, there is a difference between safety and interesting. Now, there's extreme lack of safety when a person has no concern for safety, and they're the type of person that'll climb a 100-mile or 100-foot, you know, sheer rock wall with no ropes attached. They have no sense, no concern for safety. They're just on the edge. They're those type of people. And hopefully, you're not that type of person. I'm certainly not that type of person. But then there's another type of person. And I think this is where we all fit to some degree, where we realize that there is a need for safety and responsibility and respect. We've talked about this under the years of COVID, these 2 years, that we should respect it, that we understand it's a serious disease. We all know someone that's been affected by it in a bad way. So we have to learn to respect it. But at the same time, we're not going to be paralyzed for fear of safety. We've chosen not to be paralyzed for fear of safety. That we were going to step out in faith. We were going to go through it. We were going to test things. We were going to challenge it. We were going to trust God. We were going to continue to do things. And that's a very important part. Because God wants us to be respectful of the things around us, but God also wants us to trust Him and step out. We'll never step out if we're just thinking about safety all the time. You would never enter into a relationship if you were just concerned about safety and security. Because relationships are risky. Relationships can be hard. You can be hurt. You become vulnerable. Somebody can use you. You have to let people know who you are. There's a threat element to that. So you'll never go anywhere if all you're concerned about is just your own personal safety. You'll never do anything. And if one thing that we've learned about COVID is, if we live in that arena, then we do nothing. But God has challenged us to trust Him and to be respectful, that kind of fine line of balance of safety and also at the same time, trust. If you think about it, when God called Abram, He said, "I want you to leave your father, I want you to leave your land, I want you to go where you don't know anybody and you don't know what's going to happen, but guess what? I'll take care of you. I will protect you." That's basically what He said. There's a sense where we've all learned that we have to trust God to take care of us during these last 2 years. That if we were going to get through this, and we were still going to do ministry and respect people and love them, and express that love to people, that we had to trust God to take care of us. Amen? I mean, that's just really important. And so James says there, look, I want you to know that you should consider it all joy. This is a decision that you have to make in your heart. When these various things happen that are challenging in your life, that God allows, He's the one that creates the situation. He says, because of knowing that the testing or the proving of your faith produces patience. That after you go through this, the fact that you've believed and trusted Him in going through this, it's patience, the ability to just go through it, trusting Him. That's God producing this element in you. And notice what it goes on in verse 4. It says this, and let that patience have its maturing work so that you may be mature. And then notice this, complete, it says. Actually, that word means meeting all the expectations. So that there's a sense, when we end out in James 1:12, it says that you actually have a crown of life. Life doesn't rule you, but you rule over it. Not because you're better than anybody else, but because you've trusted God through the trials. You haven't wavered, you haven't stepped back, you haven't fallen back into security. You've trusted God. You're not going to, as we see here in Hebrews, you're not going to let a city on this earth replace the city that we're going to. That's where I'm going. I'm shooting for that one. So it says, mature and complete, and then notice this, lacking nothing. God's plan is to produce in us, all of us, the ability to get through things and to give us the grace and faith to do so. And what's intriguing about Christianity is that everything that has happened, even these last 2 years, has been designed by God to refine us. It's, you can almost say, as believers, that it's all been for us, that God has allowed this for us. Because He's working in our lives. That God doesn't do anything on this earth that doesn't have some influence on His people. That everything, from that viewpoint, is part of His predetermined plan for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's just as simple as that. This is why in Romans 2, we all know the verse, we boast in the glory of God, it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. But then it goes through a process. And not only this, but we boast or exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about patience. God designs the circumstance. We trust Him in it. God designs all the various details. We trust Him in it. God put us here in the center of Tacoma, not a quarter mile from the mission, with everything that's going on in this area. And believe me, if we were to go through a list, it'd blow your mind. But, and He designs that, and we trust Him. Because God has a purpose. And we're not trying to get out of it, we're trying to grow in our relationship to Him, right here in it. Patience produces proven character. I want to be with the people that aren't just safe, but they're secure in Christ. They trust God. Those are the people I want to be around. Those are the people I want to go forward with. I'm talking about as a friend, or I'm not talking about as the pastor of the church. I'm just as a human being, a believer in Christ. Those are the people I want to go forward with. The safe people, the ones that are just firmly fixed on security and safety, they're never going to go too much of a risk. They're never going to hear the call. They're never going to let God challenge them to go where they can't understand the next step. Too risky. But those people that have been called into the adventure of growing in their relationship to Christ, and they know it, and they realize that everything that's happening is God's design for them, that really it is personal, that He's doing it for them. Those people have this sense of awe. You want to be around those people because they're trusting God for the next thing. They're expecting something to happen that they can't see yet. and they're trusting him as they go. They don't know where they're going to end up. They just know he's leading them there, that he's working it out. I remember, again, back in 1980, when we came out here, and I listed all the names today and thought, just trying to reflect back. All of us had preconceived notions of what would happen. None of that ever happened the way that we thought it would. Not one thing happened as we thought it would. But yet, hasn't it, I don't know about anybody else, it's been an incredible faith blast. Just a faith opportunity. I know when you guys moved down to California and you had all the challenges down there, an opportunity, just a challenge of faith, just to see what God's going to do, the lives that you reach, the people that you touch, those things are eternal. You don't ever just replace that. I mean, that's eternal. There's something special about knowing that God's using you in an eternal work of God. When you go out tonight, get one of those LRU magazines out there, where IEGM is actually listed in there, where the mission organization that they have. And all of those missionaries, they're part of us. It's part of a good portion of them are missionaries that we minister to, that we support, that we've had here. That's part of our adventure, the things that are going on there. This summer in August, we'll be talking to the board about this, but my desire is that we wouldn't have a conference here. We're going to support a conference in another part of the United States with another IEGM church. I'm hoping as many of our people that can will go there, and we'll try and raise support to get our missionaries, a couple of them, at least one of them, there to be at that conference, and we'll build up that other church. Because we're part of that, and that's part of our vision, and it's the intrigue of seeing God do something somewhere else and being a part of that, just a little part of edifying that. So that, you know, just be praying for that, because I think that's the way we'll do it this summer. It'll be fun. It'll be in New York, not the city, but northern, upstate New York. So it says patience, proven character. Proven character leads to hope, and hope doesn't bring any shame, will not make a person ashamed. Why? Because we see how much God loves us all over again. It's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. We get to see God do things that we never thought would happen because we chose to take the risk of the adventure by faith. We're not hanging off a cliff. We're not jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's none of that. There's respect, common sense and logic, and at the same time, because God gave us a brain, but at the same time, faith. Trusting God to take care of us. And he does. And he's done it over and over and over again. So before you do anything, if you're going to be successful, you got to be patient. You got to let God do things in his time. If you're looking for fast results, or just good returns, and it's all about that, it's never going to be right. You're never going to see it the way that God wants us to see it. Let's kind of close out here. So if we focus on the journey, not the destination, it brings more contentment. What if we decide, like Abram, that we're just called and we're going to enjoy the next step that God puts before us? Now, I don't know. We've been looking for various outreaches. I'm hoping that one of those outreaches will be, the Joint Base Lewis-McChord, that on Saturdays, once a month, we'll be able to go up there, bring food items, share the gospel, pass out food, and minister to these folks that are just really in need, because the finances and resources they get aren't enough to carry them through the month. That what a tremendous opportunity that would be. That hasn't opened yet. And we have lots of people in line for that, but it just hasn't opened yet. I don't know what the door is. We're still working CAP up on Roosevelt Heights. We still work with the school. I don't know how wide that door is going to open. I don't know what the door is. But you know what? I'm excited to see what the door will be. I'm kind of like thinking, you know, the Revelations 3 with the Philadelphia church, they were small, they didn't have much power. God said, I'm opening the door for you. I feel like COVID has brought us to this place where now it's kind of exciting to see what door he's going to open that no man can shut. I think that's where it is, whatever it may be. How he's going to fill up the dorms, if he's going to fill up the dorms, or are we going to utilize that space for something else? I don't know. I'm just saying, whatever God's going to do, I'm excited to see what he's going to do. How's he going to make this thing happen? It's all in his court. But what we're going to do is be faithful and trust him and enjoy every moment of the intrigue of what's happening. Enjoying our prayer time here on the 25th and 26th, just enjoying every moment that God gives us, everything that he allows us to do, just enjoying it because we have the privilege of doing it. And letting God be the God of the results. You know, we can sow and we can water. God has to bring the increase in 1 Corinthians 3. We can't do that. Trusting God for that and just taking a step of faith and being patient, just abiding where he has us, going forward with what we've got, trusting that God knows our heart, supplies our need, and he's going to come through. Amen? So if we were all concerned about how we're going to get there or what it's going to be like when we get there, I don't think we'd ever get there. We're kind of like that little skit. When are we going to be there? When are we going to be there? When are we going to be? What's it going to be like? Rather than just simply enjoying by faith what God has provided for us. And you'll notice in this text throughout Hebrews chapter 11, it's all about by faith. By faith. Just going to trust him. Just going to believe in something that I can't really see. But I know it's real. I know he's with me. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'm with you till the end of the age. I'm in it. I can trust you. Just trust me. I'm going to see this through. I'm actually engaged in your life. Everything is happening. It's part of my plan. These 2 years weren't beyond his control. The fact that we're in one of the most liberal states in the United States, not beyond his control. Just trust me. I got it all under control. I still have a plan for this state. I do believe that there's people in Tacoma. I love these people in Tacoma. I have a plan for the people in Tacoma, Pierce County, King County. I still have a plan. Can you trust me for it? Can we do that? Because that's all he's asking of us. And then whatever he asks us to do, let's do it with all of our heart, as unto the Lord, and see what happens. And the journey will be kind of exciting. For many of us, looking back, we can say, you know, that was kind of interesting. We can think about some of the things we did. You were showing pictures of the fishing that we did there on Martha's Vineyard, the first time I ever went there. That's when we learned that Jason was allergic to cats because we left him with Sue's sister and he just exploded. You couldn't even see. I mean, it was like his eyes were shut. It was just terrible. But all of those memories of God's faithfulness, of God showing up, God being there, taking care of us. All those memories to the point that we're here today. He's no different today and hasn't been for the last 2 years than he was 40 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago. And we've all experienced enough scars in terms of battles that we know that he is our shield. We know it. We don't have anything to be afraid of. So we can't lose anything because we don't own any of it anyway. God's been the one that's given us everything that we've ever achieved. And we can only expect even greater things for the future, truthfully. I'm expecting greater things. So we are going to focus on enjoying our journey, whatever that may be here. Not necessarily what we're going to get to we know that God has something great for us. Amen? Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for this night and your word. We pray for those that are sick. We think of those that have just been so faithful here. We ask you to bless our time together as we close out tonight. Thank you for, Lord, it says that the memory of the just is blessed there in Proverbs 10, verse 7. And it really is true. Not just that what you remember about them, but all the things that we all were part of, those blessed times that you were a part of. It's just a blessing. And I can't help but think that the future has so much more. And so we ask, Lord, that you just give us strength and encouragement and wisdom. And bless each one in Christ's name. Amen. If you have questions, you're really welcome. You can ask.